me just a second, Brother Curtis.
Blog
greetings,
Talk
greetings,
Radio.
Everyone. Greetings, everyone. This is Brother Baba Wetapa right here in Oklahoma City, your host with the most. I am here on People Power Radio. We have a very interesting topic tonight. As you know, we're continuing on our series of revolutionary warriors, fighters, and freedom fighters here in the United States. Well-known black activists and black political leaders and things of this sort that was discriminated against, also targeted and killed by the federal government, including the CIA, FBI, and even Mossad from Israel. Israel. So we want others to know about it, brothers, that it goes deeper than what you think it does. So tonight we're going to be talking about a very brilliant young brother who was killed at the age of 30 in the San Quentin prison. He is none other than Comrade George Jackson. As you know, we're going to talk about his brilliance and his very strong, will-minded political atmosphere, his thoughts, his ideas. And he was an author. He was an activist. He was a political guru. And he was, again, killed in the San Quentin prison. And we'll talk about that very shortly. My co-host, may have your boys not here, but I do have my brother Curtis Mullins from Tulsa right here on the line with me. So we'll continue on until Mayotte gets here and others. And let us go just a little bit and talk about what our topic is tonight. But before I go, I want to ask my brother, Brother Curtis, talk, how you doing tonight, brother, before we get on and get it really rocking and rolling. Talk to me.
I'm doing good, man. I feel fine. My back is healing.
All right.
I'm walking around, and I feel like listening to some good, constructive, revolutionary conversation tonight.
All right. Well, you're at the right spot. Yeah, you definitely at the right spot for that, because you know how we're going to do it.
Yeah, let's get it on.
All right, y'all. We're going to talk about, again, Brother George Jackson here again. He's a revolutionary warrior. Let me say a little bit about the history about this young man, and then we'll go on to the very auspices of what this program is going to be about tonight. George Lester Jackson was born September 23rd, 1941, and of course he lost his life on August 21st, 1971. He was African-American author and activist. While serving an indeterminate sentence for armed robbery of a gas station in 1961, my brother became involved in revolutionary activity and co-founded the prison gang Black Guerrilla Family. So I think all y'all begin to know that the Black Guerrilla Family didn't start outside of prison. It started inside. Okay, let's everybody get to understand and progress later on to other areas like Chicago, mainly where a lot of BGIF and other black peacetone rangers and gangsters and things out there. A lot of that started in Chicago, and the Black Guerrilla Family was started by George Jackson in prison. In 1970, George was charged with, along with two other Soledad brothers, which also is a book he wrote about, Soledad Brothers. And he was charged with the murder of a correction officer by the name of John Benton Mills. In the aftermath of the prison fight, there was a prison fight, by the way, that same year he published Soledad Brother. Okay, the very brother is very bright, very brilliant. He is anti-government. He's anti-anything that has to do with anti-against African-American culture, renditions, beliefs, thoughts, ideas, so forth and so on. He also filed, not only that, he also letters from George Jackson, a combination of autobiography and manifesto addressed to the African-American audience. So he was writing his books on the theme of African-Americans, wake up because you are a target of this racist white supremacist government that is targeting you as African-Americans and keeping you from getting a piece of the American pie. So he wanted us to know that, and I'm glad you brothers and sisters gave me an opportunity to tell you a little bit more about him. We're definitely going to go deeper into his political aspect, but now we're just talking about his personal life. Don't move on. The number one book that became his bestseller was The Letters of George Jackson. Okay, he was also a great friend and great comrade of Angela Davis, who they say she was actually a part of the insurrection that killed a judge and several other people during it, and by his brother Jonathan Jackson during a hearing. During a hearing. And, again, there was a shootout. Rushia McGee was also present, and he was one of the ones who remained. He wasn't killed, and therefore he's been in prison for all this time. Brother Curtis is going to lace us up a little bit on that part of it as well. So, y'all, we're heading for a very, very inspiring, very perspective show tonight. So y'all might get ready, because we're going to have a little bit of fun. So, Brother Curtis, talk to me about Rushia McGee. Let me see, and then I'll tie everybody in with George Jackson, how you came in on that.
Well, Rochelle McGee has been in jail for 56 years.
Wow.
He's been found not guilty of the crimes that they tried him for, but he was involved with a liberation attempt to get to a radio station to tell the world that they were holding him illegally. Quincy Adams was a president of the United States. And Quincy Adams established in 1841 that if a man felt that he was in jail for something that he didn't do, that he had the right to attempt to escape and take his case to the Supreme Court for them to hear. Well, that was 1841. Rochelle, George Jackson's brother Jonathan, and two other brothers attempted to escape to a radio station and tell the world that they were being held illegally by the United States government. When Ronald Reagan ordered prison guards and the police to not then let them escape under no circumstances. They had gotten out into a van to go to the radio station, and the police opened fire on the van. They didn't care who was inside of the van. They were two women jurors, the district attorney, the judge, and during the attempt to get to the radio station, they opened fire on the van, and the judge killed, the two brothers were killed, Jonathan Jackson was killed, a woman was injured, the district attorney was paralyzed from his waist down. Angela Davis had purchased the weapons that
She went to trial for it.
Tried her for all of the crimes, but she got guilty because she bought the guns legally. So they're not guilty. The trial went on, and Rochelle McGee presented his case based on the 1841 law that that they had to let go. His attempted escape trial was based on that law, and they found him not guilty. Now the judge in the case, his head was blown off, and they tried to charge Rochelle with the murder of the judge. And Rochelle is a brilliant attorney. He made them pick up his body and perform an autopsy on it, and the autopsy came back that it was a police bullet through the heart of the judge. His head blown off didn't have nothing to do with him being killed. And they had to drop that charge. And at the trial, they found him not guilty of attempting to escape. And they found him not guilty. This is a jury that found him.
A
judge. But they kept him in there. And he's still in there to this day. He's been in jail
total of
50-something years, and he ain't never been convicted of a crime. And we can't get the jury or the political to come out and get this man out of jail. So that's a short history of him. But he's a brilliant attorney. Mm-hmm. And one of the greatest people ever.
Yes. And remember, Brother Curtis, we about, I hope that about, then we'll get, Brother, so I see my co-host are down, Sister Maya. I don't thank you, Maya, for getting rid of us. But let me say this, y'all. I'll say. Now, Curtis, you know, you and I were talking about petitioning the United States government against this white supremacist system regarding the African-American here in the West Coast. Remember, we were talking about trying to free Brother Ruth Gill through a petition. We never did do it.
I still got I still got the petition you wrote up.
Right. You still got the one I wrote up, right?
Yeah.
We might need to sit down and revisit that, brother, because a lot of this old wicked stuff that's going on, man, needs to change, you know? And
yeah,
we're finally drawn up. I mean, we laid it down that there was no basis for an argument outside of it. By the way, for you, those of you who are listening to us right now, we're talking about our brother comrade George Jackson, who, again, he was an activist and an author. He was also killed in prison along with other five other prisoners in his cell when they took other – actually, five hostages were killed that they took hostage. And in his situation, he was trying to proclaim as well. So he died in 1970, 30 years old. So he robbed his life of his natural, nutritious, vibrant, friendly, and more or less collaboratively not being allowed to grow older and feel good about his life being, not leaving it out as an older person, you know, having served his sentence or life on earth. May I talk to me now? You heard about what we're talking about. What's on your mind?
I say, you know, this is another story, you know, another one of our ancestors that really, you know, didn't have to get taken so early, mm-hmm. didn't have to be in these types of situations due to the climate that they lived in. You know what I mean? We still live in that same climate, and these stories of these revolutionaries, the ones that went against the grain, you know, to change things, to make things, you know, not hidden anymore, you know, to reveal the evil, wicked ways of some of these people, and a lot, you know, and I always look back at those stories and be like, you know, this could be any of us. So I don't ever forget about
them
because their stories hold a lot of truth, you know, shows us what these evil monsters are capable of doing to us, you know what I mean? And it also shows us the spirit that they had throughout all the oppressive things that happened to them. And, you know, this is just another one of those stories that you have to find the strength of the individual out of and really say, you know what, I'm not going to give up, because they didn't give up. They fought for it until the last breath. And that I know they are happy with the fact that their message is heard. You know what I mean? It's heard all over the world now. You know how corrupt it is, and we're still fighting. We're still fighting to make things better than what it was yesterday, a year ago. But we're making some progress, but at the same time, it's a lot of stuff that still needs to be revealed. And that's what they are scared of, is us revealing their secrets and tearing their whole program and system down.
I see. Well, see, your points were very brilliant and very well taken. Our black revolutionaries have been in the forefront of trying to change conditions and behaviors and mannerisms way, way back, even before the 60s, when you heard James Brown say, I'm black and I'm dead loud. Stokely Carmichael, who mimicked him with the black fist raised. Those brothers were signifying at that particular time, hey, everybody, let's go in unity, raising our fists no matter where you are, what state, what county. When you raise your fist, that means you black and you proud. That means it's time to stand up and fight for our civil rights, our constitutional rights, our human rights. At this particular time, y'all, these brothers and sisters were fired up at the fact, after a while, man, you can run a horse into a corner, he's going to try to kick out and come out of it, man, beating him and getting the door where it's going to turn. His instinct can kick in. Well, same thing with our Western Hemisphere. Our instincts kick in, and we... For the most part, those of us who are a status quo threat to the federal government, the FBI, CIA, and those appointed state governments, let me tell y'all something. These were people who found out that we were bugging their ears. And so what they did, they assassinated and or incarcerated the power leaders, those that they just are killing, they had to incarcerate them. And now, before you get out again, like Brother Roshan McGee, you go in at 25 years old, you become a PN9, and they can't do that no more. See, so therefore, you're less of a threat to them. This is how they do us, man. In other words, and the ones that they do send to prison purposely is for the purpose of letting them linger in torment, pain, and suffering, and things of that nature. Brother Curtis, talk to me. I mean, am I making sense there?
You make nothing but sense. You know, this is a corrupt political system. Rochelle McGee was found not guilty by a jury of his peers. The jury foreman petitioned the state of California with their not guilty verdict. Not guilty verdict. And they ain't moved on it yet. So what is it about habeas corpus? Habeas corpus is what they was trying to get to by going to the court, to the newspaper, and telling the world that they were being held against their will. The argument was habeas corpus. Habeas corpus is when you're supposed to go before the Supreme Court and argue your case.
Right, for freedom. Argue your case, yes.
Yes. But the United States judicial system did not prevent them to do that. And they killed all of them brothers except Rochelle Thank You McGee, who is still in jail with a not guilty verdict.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Well, now, that's what... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
There are many other brothers, and we're going to stay on... That supported George Jackson.
Yes.
The Attica Rebellion. Attica Rebellion.
I'll say.
That was about the prisoners inside of the penitentiary were revolting about what they did to George Jackson. When they killed George Jackson, that's what that revolt was about up in Attica Prison in New York.
Oh, he was a powerful brother. Oh, man.
Yeah.
He raised noise.
Yeah, he was.
Yes.
Yes, he was. And he wasn't by himself.
No, brother. No, hell no. You had H. Rap Brown. You had Stokely Comp. Go ahead, man. Shit.
I'm like, you know what? I see this recurring pattern, and I think we all, you know, have been in the, you know, that are in the struggle or have been in the struggle for a while or just got in the struggle, see the recurring pattern of assassination. You know what I mean?
Come on, now.
Like, they assassinate the greatest people. And I'm not just saying assassinate them by just killing them. They assassinate their character, assassinate their organization. They assassinate everything positive about that person, even after death. And they wait so long before they say, you know what, that person was wrong for saying that. And that person is probably long gone. So they can't do anything to that person. Mm-hmm. Then to reveal, this person was great. What really upsets me is how our revolutionaries had to die and suffer for their stories to finally be told. Books to finally blow up and be a big thing. It disappoints me that, you know, that we're not able to see the truth some of the time, even if it's right there in front of our faces. And I say that because I'm challenging people. Go look at stories. Go look at the stories of the revolutionaries. Study them, know them. And look for the good parts in it and look for the parts where they kind of try to leave stuff out and do your research.
Of course.
Because it's a lot of power in knowing where you come from, knowing who fought for you, knowing the true people that fought for you, not who they tell you fought for you.
Right.
But these ones that really are revolutionaries fought for us. They fought for us to even walk, breathe, live, you know, in all
mm-hmm.
these different environments
mm-hmm.
that we're in, to be treated fairly, to be treated as a human, not cattle, not just something you pick up off the shelf and you're done with it. You know what I mean? So learning
yeah.
about these different revolutionaries and activists outside of just Dr. Martin Luther King, because they'll tell us about him, but they won't tell us all about him. You know what I mean? But
right.
even that story, do your research, learn these stories. There's power in these stories. There is knowledge in these stories, you know,
yeah,
and there
right.
are secrets that are revealed that the enemy don't really want us to know how
oh, no.
they did certain things, you know, in
That's
these
right.
stories. You know what I mean? They just think we're
yeah.
not smart enough to go back to research, to read, to study. They think that we're not capable of knowing
mm-hmm.
these things or even comprehending what the real message was in these books to us
wow.
as a people. They don't
Fannie
think we
wow.
comprehend
Famer.
That.
That's right.
Fannie
Lou Hamer. You're right.
You ever heard of her, young lady? Young lady, you ever heard
of Fannie Lou Hamer?
I can't hear you.
Have you heard of Fannie Lou Hamer?
I have. I haven't dug into that yet.
Woo, man,
dig into it.
You better go
into
it.
I have a list, guys, of revolutionaries and activists that I'm studying. So that's
Ooh.
Why I push everybody to do it, because I'm like, there's still some stories that I don't even know. I consider myself still a student and a leader at the same time. Because I'm always learning about something. You know what I mean?
Good.
And if it's something I don't know, I want to find out about it. You know, I want to know the stories. Because for me, I was telling, you know, I was told, like, you know, well, I was kept from a lot of this knowledge. So I'd be so eager to go through the stories and to learn. You know what I mean? And it's just the more that I learn, the more that I study, the more that I listen to their stories, their speeches, read their – I'm beginning to understand their mindset. You know what I mean? I'm beginning to understand why they fought so hard, you know. And it's power in those stories, man. It's power in these revolutionary stories, books, speeches. It's what you get out of it. It's what you're looking for. You know what I mean?
It's mind-boggling.
It's the empowerment that we need for our people. Carry their spirits on by learning their stories.
I should. Go ahead, Curtis.
Fannie Lou Hamer was our female representative before Osada Shakur.
That's powerful.
Mrs. Freedom Party.
Yeah.
Shirley Chisholm had put her out, and the Jews, they went and found Shirley Chisholm and put her out in front of Fannie Lou Hamer. We wanted Fannie Lou Hamer to be representative of the African American community.
Right.
But they weren't going for that, you know? So the same people that found the vice president and found a lady to put on the Supreme Court are the same people that they put out in front of Fannie Lou Hamer. You read that book. She wrote it herself. Read it. They did to her the same thing inside of Shakur. They put her inside of the men's penitentiary, and she fought her way through it. You know,
you gotta read that so you get the point. Shit, that boy. Woo.
You know,
yeah, she's powerful, man. That's one of my favorites.
I'm gonna tell you about two other people that
come
that,
on, bro,
in the community. Other people in the community that I lived in. One of them name was Harold Russell, and the other name was Nikki LeBeau, and they these same people that found Shirley Chisholm they found these boys to sell these drugs in the community that we lived in.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
Nikki LeBeau and Harold Russell, they cleaned up the community. They were members of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. They cleaned up the community. They brought in the breakfast program.
That.
They were active in all of the schools in the Bedford-Stuyvesant community in Brooklyn, New York. They had a doctor's clinic out in Brownsville for people who didn't have no medical care. They could go out there and get medical care. They had a package. They gave away groceries once a week in Brooklyn, New York, in the 1960s. You know, Harold was killed by a cop named Stewart in Harlem while he was removing drug dealers from the community. What the Black Panther Party used to do when them boys came out there selling them drugs, they used to whoop their ass, make them get buck naked and run down the street so people know who they were. You know?
Yeah.
Got rid of it. Got rid of it until the police come in to protect the dope dealers, you know? Now Nikki LeBeau, he lived in Queens. He lived in Queens, and I had a business.
I heard that name, but I can't lie. I heard it. I heard much on it. I heard that.
He got a Muslim name, but I don't know how to pronounce it.
That's probably what it is. I bet you if you pronounce his name, I'll probably be in. Yeah, okay. I didn't know his street name.
Yeah.
That's probably what it was.
The police had put posters out all over the neighborhood that he lived in trying to catch him, accuse him crimes that he didn't commit. They eventually caught a hold of him, accused him of killing a cop, and he died in prison. They let him die of cancer. He suffered. They were among that group in the Bedford-Stuyvesant community. They got rid of the drugs and got rid of the drugs and the bullshit that was going on. You know,
we got a
beautiful revolutionary history, and every day something is coming back, and they don't like this.
Yeah.
That's why they
brother coming back. Brother coming back.
That's why they organize all of these militias. You know, they know that they can't win. You know,
they're getting organized, they know they can't win, so they organize and lose,
you know.
Do you know what's really the main focal political, economic, and social problem with the power status that be right today is, y'all? Watch this one. Too many blacks are mobilizing to its self-determination now. Never like before. Okay, y'all. That's the purpose now of trying to derail us, distract us, kill us, incarcerate us, poison us, because when you get a group of black folks who have the natural inclination to be successful, independent, man, don't you know that scares even the worst white supremacist on the face of the earth? Why? Because you're organized, thoughtful, incisive, and you're well capable of firing back when you fired up on. Y'all understand that, man?
I'm saying.
These people fear these black revolutionary groups, the black Israeli Mossad. Yes, they fear the Huey P. Newton Gun Club, Fred Hampton Gun Club, all the other gun clubs and things with black-oriented attachments to them. And now y'all able to carry guns in the streets like it ain't. Come on, man. I can't justify shooting at you and miss you, and then you can shoot at me and hit me back now. Come on. Now I got to think twice before I pull something on you.
Yep. Exactly. And you know what, Michael? I did want to add, though. I've been seeing this steady progression in embracing our culture. And I would say I realized it about 2011, 2012, that it's been shooting up from here. You know what I mean? A lot of our people are embracing who they are, finding themselves, understanding their power, you know, taking off this, I say matrix, you know, we can go there, but taking off the illusion of inclusion that they are putting over our heads. We're not included in anything, any decision that they're making, they not including us. And over there, they doing the same thing as we've seen time and time after. You know what I mean? When they see us, when they see revolutionaries, activists, those people that are out there, boots on the ground, fighting for it, putting their lives on the line to make, you know, to make things right or to put things fairly how it's supposed to be, they get scared because they know this is the start of something that we can't stop. You know what I mean?
And it's over now.
When they gave us Juneteenth, this was my thing. I almost chuckled a little bit. I was like, you really finna give us Juneteenth? Really? We've been celebrating this for a long time, my guy. You know what I mean? That's what I was looking at. And they only did that to calm us down. That was their...
We ain't going for no.
That was their only thing. That was to calm us down. You know what I mean? Because they saw we were going to do it anyway. We were going to celebrate who we were anyway, regardless. You know, you can't stop us. You can't beat us. So that's why they decided to try to pass that law for us to be able to get off of work. And they going to make some money off of it. So that's the thing. They knew it was getting bigger. So they gave us this holiday that we've been celebrating for God knows how long. You know what I mean? So they know it's coming. Right. They know this train ain't stopping, and they're going to try to do that's with this mass shooting and all of this stuff. You know what I mean? They're going to try to stop it as much as they can, but they can't stop this from happening, though.
No, man. No, man. Go ahead. Go ahead, Curtis. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
We can't leave out. Marilyn Buck. Do you know her?
Yeah, that's another sister. Mayor, you better write that down, man. You better write them names down. I'm telling you. The women like you, sister. Like you, sister. Sure, you ain't no man running every damn thing. Shit. You better
Marilyn Buck is the woman that went inside of the maximum security penitentiary in Virginia. And walked out with a solitary call.
You better believe
it. I say.
Go away from the penitentiary and find some people to fly her to Cuba.
That's it. That's a connect. That's right.
And she was.
That's right.
I say.
She was.
Yes,
ma'am. She was a revolutionary.
Oh, man. She was smooth with walk right out of prison with her like she was lied on.
Smooth.
And sent her to Cuba. Had a plane waiting on her. You tell me that ain't revolutionary work, sister? Shit.
Oh, no. That's revolutionary. That's definitely planning.
Shit.
That's some hard work right there.
And she could have either got busted, but said, I'm going to take this chance anyway. Shit.
Yep.
Walk right in there, walk out with no handcuffs or nothing.
They couldn't, they couldn't find her for a long time.
Mm.
And when they found her, they put her in jail. And they kept her in there, tortured her, kept her locked up until she caught cancer. They gave her cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she
you know they gave it to her, man. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm putting together a folder for you.
They did it.
Hell, yeah. Come on, man. But Mayan, what I'm trying to tell you, sister, this is what I'm trying to tell you. These sisters here didn't become great figures here before we came to the diaspora. Our brothers and sisters were heading armies in Africa. The same remnants of leadership in our women here is simply what's left over from our sisters in Africa who were forced to come here, who were automatic warriors and fighters and on the front lines when some of the men were scared like scaredy cats and shit, huh? And matter of fact, our sisters blew their damn head. I said, no, you scared, motherfucker. Y'all got to stand in front of me. Go back and tell on me what you're going to do. I'm trying to tell you. Yeah, so you're doing perfectly right.
You're
a synonym of the young ladies who would have... Damn it, I'm trying to tell you that.
Anytime a police officer... You see a police officer or two or three
them
police officers
throw their head off,
beating up on a 9-year-old boy.
Oh no! Now don't let them sisters see.
You don't intercede. Something is seriously wrong.
Amen. Yeah.
You know, like the police officer being hired by the police department that were mercenaries for the United States government in Central America. They were killing their mothers and fathers for the United States government as mercenaries in Central America, in South America. So they brought them over here when they lost the wars over there and put them on the police force here. So we got a double duty and a double consciousness to be aware of just tracking and keeping note and writing about what we are observing in these communities so we can pass that information on to the community that's understanding the political and the military dynamic that's taking place today in the communities that we live in.
Go ahead, man. Go ahead. Y'all go ahead. Y'all know I'm ready. I'll get up. Go ahead.
I was going to add to that, you know, some, you know, Curtis be, you know, dropping some knowledge on here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And every time I come here with Michael and Curtis and any of the other guests that come on, I always learn something new. You know what I mean? We've got, like, just, you know, when you're just commuting or just talking, you know, in public, you know, at the grocery store, have conversations with our people. You know what I mean? Ask them how they doing. You never know what kind of information you're going to get or what information you can give. You know, what opportunity you have to pass on the same knowledge that you are given. You know what I mean? Our people, they change, you know what I mean, their perspective of certain things by maybe someone older, someone a little bit wiser than them comes and tells them something or shares this type of information with them about how it really is. You know what I mean? So we don't know what kind of impact we are going to give on someone when we continue to get knowledge and then to give knowledge. It's a cycle.
Absolutely right.
I got a lot of information for you, sister, and I'm going to send it to Michael, and he can get to you.
I'm trying to tell her that. She thought I was just faking a line to her. I'm trying to tell you. We got some interesting boy that,
I
told you, man.
You didn't
tell her my name, Miss. I'm trying to tell her. She think I'll be kidding with her. I'm telling her, we got some... We got some ammunition. She think we kidding with her, man. We ain't just some knuckleheads that be talking on radio.
Shit.
Just think twice. We ain't playing.
Some of it is direct from the side of the car.
Yeah. Hey, man, when I told you we got boxes of legal papers, that's all I got to say. Okay? That's what I'm trying to tell you. Hear me? We got boxes of history and legal papers. Shit.
They got to be accountable for what they doing out here. You know what I mean? And they going to, sadly, but history repeats itself if we don't change something. You know what I mean?
Of course.
We don't keep running into these same stumbling blocks and these same things if we don't learn the lesson now and see that they not playing with us. You know what I mean? They out here using, killing us, running up on us, you know what I mean, doing whatever they can, assassinating us, assassinating our character, assassinating our reputation or whatever, any possible way they can tear us down, that's what they gonna do. And it's very few people in this world that want to, you know, give that knowledge out, but you got to give that knowledge to the people so that they can decide what the truth is for themselves, you know what I mean? So that's why I just, you know, I try to talk to as many people as possible, even when in passing, small conversations. Sometimes they don't know who I am. Not everybody knows who I am, and that's totally fine because the message has to be delivered no matter who the sender is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right.
We've got to keep broadcasting what's happening in our neighborhood, what's happening around us, and acknowledge that this is not getting any better. We need to tighten up as a community and actually come together because we need the strength of all of us to get through some of these battles, and we have to set aside some things and really come together. And it's, I see it happening, but I don't want it to happen under force. You know what I mean? I want it to happen before all the chaos and mayhem happens. It's already starting. We just have we got to be prepared for whatever. You know what I mean? I'm not saying don't live your life, but live your life dangerously and cautiously, paying attention to everything around you. You know what I mean? Because at any moment, you could be in a bad situation that you have to be able to get yourself out of. You know what I mean? And your family out of it safely. You know what I mean? And that's why I push, you know, gun safety, owning a gun. I push all stuff because of the climate that's going on now. And even before it got this bad, I was still pushing it because it's not getting any better. It's a snowball effect to an end.
Yeah,
you know what
right.
I mean? An end of all this stuff. You know what I mean? Because we're going to get fed up and we're going to get tired of it. Even the people that don't really pay attention to what's going on, they going to get fed up of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to start hitting too close to home. You know what I mean? And it's going to get very, very uncomfortable. You know what I mean? And we're going to have to. We're going to have to do what we got to do at the end of the day. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to be very tasteful about it. We're going to have to do what we're going to have to do. At the end of the day.
But you always light it up.
Get
on
board.
See, you know what? Yes. You got that fire. I told you, Curtis, she's 29, but she's 40 years old, really. I keep telling her that, man. I call her Miss 40. I don't call her no damn 29. That's nothing. Because in number, as far as being on earth, yes. But your knowledge far surpasses a 29-year-old man. You understand what I'm saying? You're not speaking what a 29-year-old, let me go to my job, let me go to my house and sleep now, let me get off my job again. No. You're talking about gun safety. You're talking about choking your gun. You're talking about protecting yourself, your community. That puts you beyond the rest. Because if others were so much black ladies who are supposed to be, a lot of them don't have the frame of mind to let their inner self control what their belief and opinions right now control. I don't know if that made sense or not. You have to go out and control you have to control. Go ahead.
I definitely understand what you're saying. You know, I'm here on a mission. I'm sorry. I felt like this, you know, most of my life. I'm here on a mission. You know what I mean? I'm here to do what I got to do and live life. And I want people to think like that too. You know, be on a mission to protect yourself. Be on a mission to protect your family. You know what I mean? And all your investments. You know, and that's just, I don't know. I let what needs to be said when it needs to be said. You know, if that makes any sense, Michael. I don't feel like I'm 40, but I feel like I'm 40.
Yeah. Look at how you're talking.
World right now.
You doggone right. I'm serious. I'm the one gave it Miss 40. Doggone it. Let me tell you something. When you talk about the age of 40, they know this. When you reach 40 years old, when you get to 40, you're dying years. Not that you're dying or dead, but now you're more serious about things. And because you've got sincerity, you follow what I'm saying? It means that you're older than the 30-year-old. You follow me? Because you didn't wait for 40 to get you back now. Are you following what I'm saying?
I say.
So that puts you in a breed of your own. Go ahead, Curtis. You tried to say something a while ago, Curtis. Go ahead.
I was saying that she absolutely right.
Yeah, she is.
We don't have to put it together and spread it out all over the country.
No, I'm trying to tell her. She don't know she's in the right hand of the company of the fighters of the true fighters of the powers that be, man.
We're going to have our first mass open meeting in Oklahoma City.
Yeah. I told you you ain't heard everything. I'm not playing with you. I got damn revolutionary shit now. We got weapons and all that shit. Who you talking to? Like I woke up last night and I told you I'm the organizer behind the scenes. I'm not playing with you.
All you got to do is give me a phone call, tell me what's up, and I'm like, all right. But I need to give me the detail. I'm not waiting to get ready for whatever. No, we stay ready to keep them getting ready.
Yeah.
Exactly. You got to start, and that's the thing. You got to start somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get you a bug out bag. Get you, you know. Bare clothes, all this other stuff. Have it on the side. You know, those are emergency bags. You know what I mean?
Well,
emergency bags. Having stuff like that, preparing ahead of time. You know, if the pandemic didn't tell nobody nothing,
you can't depend on
going to church every Sunday to save you. You can't do none of that.
Hold on, man. My daughter told me I'm talking too loud. I've got to put these in my ear.
Oh, okay. you resonate throughout the whole house, Kurt. You're excited over it, Kurt. We done had you pop loose, buddy.
Yeah.
Boy,
yeah,
now y'all see, this is the kind of... This is the kind of conversation where you're supposed to get loose at.
I mean, we be talking about stuff and we be on a roll. But, I did want to say, you know, about the pandemic stuff, you know what I mean? That should have told us that, hey, we need to have some type of backup source of food. And for us, African descendants, the seeing people grow their own vegetables and grow their own stuff.
I told you, yes.
You know what I mean? They see that too. They see us out here being entrepreneurs and farmers and getting back to our roots. They see that. That's a threat. That is a threat.
Man, come on,
that's a direct threat to the system, because then that means that we can take care of ourselves, and that's not what they want us to do. They want us to be dependent on them all the way through to the end, even if it's death.
Death is an indelible part. You can't escape that. You can't escape that.
Yep.
Someone has to be a martyr.
Where you going?
Others will live to carry the message and the revolution on. Remember that.
I'll say.
No.
I'm going next door to help them put the bed together.
Okay. Well, God, I'm in.
Yeah, tell Susan hello for me. She think I'm scared of her. I'm going to tell her. That's his daughter. Yeah, we be having fun. I told you, man. Oh, no. You ain't seen that yet, man. I told you. Shit.
I'll say.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, we got
that. Y'all.
We're going to have our first mass meeting in Oklahoma City.
She don't even know we've been putting all the planners and stuff. I told her. That's why we got you on the line in the calls, man. I keep trying to tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
I told you we got boxes of legal work and history. Did you hear what I just said?
I'll say.
I don't have to say anything other than you got it.
I got a special.
Hey, all I need is a date and a time, Michael. That's it. Date.
Yeah.
Time.
Yeah, it's coming. We coming this way.
Shit. Man.
I'm trying to tell you. I got
a special invitation that Asada Shakur wrote that I'm going to send to you to get to her.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
man. That's we got
Shakur.
Some strong connections, man. We're not just some knucklehead that woke up on Twitter last night. I'm trying to tell you. I've got all kind of some writers myself. I'm influential. Board dangles. I'm talking about Fred Hampton. I shouldn't have told you that letter from him. I shouldn't have told you that.
I say, hey.
Him,
my mama. Shit.
Him and his mama, good friend of mine.
Damn right. She don't know. I'm talking about Mayotte. We were on the front line with them people. I told you in Oakland, California, to Chicago and shit. We got letters and shit. We'll be kicking it back and forth. Yeah, you talking about mean business. Shit.
I say, amongst the history.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, man. Come on, man. I'm talking about letters from Fred Hampton talking to me. Yeah, brother, it's a revolution. It's real, blah, 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 blah. I say, I know it, brother.
Hey, man.
You know, let's keep it down. Shit. Come on, man.
That's cool. That's awesome.
They know that. They know that. They
know that. Shit. Man, come on, man.
They know that they didn't cause serious problems and suffering in the communities that we live in.
Yes.
And they know that they done lost the war already, regardless of how many atomic bombs they got, how many AR-15s they got, how many pistols they got. They done lost the war. And they know.
That's why the hate come out. That's why the hate come out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know?
Yeah, but
But
see, y'all, if talks like this don't fire people up, there's something wrong they did for real. That's why I told y'all, man, for the next 3 weeks, we still staying on this revolutionary tip because we have no time for play, y'all. We have no time for mistakes. It's real.
Because, I mean, as much as we putting out here, as much as we saying, you know, as much as we are showing our faces and telling y'all in person, you know, if y'all met either one of us, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no way anyone can ignore that, at least that is around either one of us, you know what I mean? Or listen to this radio station, you know what I mean? We say this stuff because we want you guys to see what the world is like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What it truly is, what you are capable of yourselves in situations that you know is not right and not fair, you know what I mean, for you as an individual, you know what I mean? So I just be pushing so hard that people dig in to what's going on here outside of the U.S. and see what it's like to be someone your skin color anywhere in this world. You know what I mean? Because they look at us by our skin. That's, you know, they don't care if I'm a black woman or that's a black man. If it's a situation where they can decide to live, to die, to be incarcerated or to be free, you know what the trajectory is when they encounter you, and during the encounter, you know what they're pushing for because of who you are, because of skin color you have. You know what I mean? And if you're too smart, and if you're too intelligent, or if you connect too well, they will assassinate you. They will at least attempt to. Or they will stop you, throw you in jail, find any kind of reason to stop you as an individual because you're too powerful for them. You know what I mean? And that's what we face as revolutionaries, especially as a Pan-Africanist. Oh, they don't like us. That's
No, because they know.
If you depress a Pan-African, that's that.
Yeah, that means that you're conscious in knowing that you cannot do without your revolutionary brothers in Al-Kiba land, the land of the dark and the people. That's why they hate you worse, because you can have ambitions that imported, have revolutionaries imported. Hell no, they don't like this. What do you mean?
I might
oh, none of them people see it.
By all logic and all reasoning, we are not even supposed to be in existence right now. I'm talking about the three of us.
Hell no. just take us, annihilate us.
We're not even supposed to be in existence. We're supposed to have been gone, you know?
Yes, sir.
And they know that they got a problem on their hand that they can't deal with. I was talking to a young fellow the other day, and he said, "Man, this is what the police beating up on us and everything." I said, "What's that in your belt?" He said, "That's a 357 Magnum." Do you know what it's for? He said, "Yeah, I know what it's for." I said, "Well, the police got a gun too. If the police is beating on you, you can kill that police officer in self-defense."
That's right.
Damn
right. That's right.
You're gonna get the raw end of the stick with your mother.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to go to court, you might be able to beat the self-defense charge. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But even if you go to jail, your mother can come to visit you in jail.
You're alive.
But if that police officer kill you, she can't dig you up the ground and hug you, you know? So you can kill the police in self-defense. You can kill the military. You can kill any goddamn body in self-defense.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
So
you got to be bold. And I tell all of them that, you know? Tell all of them that, you know?
You hear that?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna get together. I'm gonna get this thing together for her and some of this other information together for you. And I had a hard time getting hold of you tonight, man.
Yeah.
I almost gave up, but I didn't. So
see, that's sister, what you get. You got to be patient, President.
Yeah. It's always a pleasure hearing your voice, and I'm gonna get you those materials together. And Michael, I'll talk to you later, man. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, brother, man. Hey, be blessed, Curtis. Thank you, man. Anytime, man. Just call on me.
Good program.
Thank you, brother. Be blessed. Okay. Yeah, thank you so much. You always make it happen for us,
Ashe.
Brother. You believe that. It's always a pleasure.
Ashe.
I'll say, all right, brother. Be blessed. And we talk to you later on, Curtis. We're going to still stay on for another 20 to 30 minutes, and we will get. Take care now. Yeah. The revolution is real, y'all. It's real. A lot of people understand when they say the revolution will not be televised. Let me not for a lot of people listen. Yeah, that goes for you, y'all, Roy John. I see you, Mary. I see all y'all. Yes. Yeah, they start lighting it up. Now they say, "Oh man, they've just letting us, you know, sitting in the background." Matter of fact, some of y'all that's on the show that y'all we can't get y'all on, I'm gonna start making it a where we can have what you call long distance comments, meaning so people can hear your voices and what we're doing here. No, you appreciate what we. One Mary said, "No, that's all right." She says she's getting up feel even when I'm saying nothing. She said she just rather keeps absorbing that knowledge like a sponge. She said, "We got you, sister. We're going to take care of you then." they feel the spirit, man. That's what we got to do to inspire. May I?
I'm
serious. I'm not kidding with you. More people can't wait for when the next show going to be. Man, I'm going to bring my sister, my daughter on. And as we led, 37 views, 142 on another show, 235, and that means people that's listening. And then you have 10 here and 40 there, the difference. Come on, man. Shit.
I'm
not playing with you.
Because, I mean, this stuff that we talk, the stuff that we say and talk about is, you know, not
legitimate.
Just our topics. It's topics of the people, too. You know what I mean? And we, us hearing from the people and hearing it directly, what do you need? Why?
Wow.
What is, you know, what is your form of oppression where you're at? You know what
I
mean?
Right.
that
yes.
not only strengthens that community or that person, you know what I mean, that somebody's
yeah,
hearing them, somebody's willing to help, but then that also opens the door for people to understand that it's not just me. You know what I mean? Like, I never want to ever feel like I'm above the people because I still am the people. You know what I mean? I'm no
yeah.
better than the next person on the side of me. You know what I mean? No matter what degree I
yeah.
obtain, no matter where I live, no matter what I do, you know what I mean? I'm no better
mm-hmm.
than you, and you're no better
hey,
than me. You know what I mean? I'm still amongst the people. And the people, you know, really do see that, you know what I mean, in the community and see
mm-hmm.
that we all are suffering from the same oppression, you know what I mean, whether it's Oklahoma, California, you know, Mississippi, you know, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
wherever, you know what I mean? We all
mm-hmm.
are facing
yeah.
the same battle, but with a different face. A different environment,
okay.
but the same issues, the same problems, the same obstacles that we have to go through that our so-called counterparts will skip
mm-hmm.
smooth
mm-hmm.
over because of status, money, and power. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
it's a false level of power. I've learned to see that it's a false level of power, you know what I mean, to a certain extent
mm-hmm.
because, you know, if it wasn't, you know, why would they feel so threatened when we just try to make something of ourselves in life? You know what I mean? Just to be
yeah.
able to provide for our families and our community and to take care of each other. How is that a threat to you and your existence?
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? If your power
yeah.
is built on falsehood, you know what I mean? And lies and deception and off of somebody else's back. You know, they know that their power can be diminished if we all came together. And that's why we're such a threat as a community. Whether you declare yourself as a Pan-Africanist revolutionary, you know, just an everyday person, you know what I mean? You are a target because of who you are. You are even more of a target if you establish a black family, you know what I mean, and have black
mm-hmm.
children,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that means more of you now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to understand that. And that's what we have. That's why we have to defend ourselves. We have to realize
yeah.
that we were born with a target on us. We didn't ask for it.
None of us
asked for it. You know
no.
what I mean? We asked to just
yeah.
live
yeah.
And to thrive as a community. And we're trying to do it amongst everybody. You know what
yes.
I mean?
Yes.
And the hatred, you know what I mean? The hatred we We're just living our everyday lives and just
being
who we are and embracing our culture.
That's all. I mean, what's
that's
that be
it.
So
we're not how you know what I mean. And when we are the people, and I'm gonna say this too, we are the people
mm-hmm.
that give way more than what we receive. You know what I mean?
Dog
and they try to make it not look like that.
Yeah.
We give more than we receive, and some of us is tired of giving and getting our hands slapped. You know what I mean? From them.
Yeah.
And that's how most of us Pan-Africanists are born. We get sick and tired of being nice and being slapped on the hand and say,
oh,
such a good boy, such a good gal. You know,
good little puppy, good little puppy dog.
You're not gonna keep slapping me on the hand you ain't gonna keep slapping me on the hand and thinking that I'm finna turn my head back and be like, yes, the master, you ain't finna get that from me. You know what I mean? So I say that, you know, to protect yourself and really pay attention to what's going on around you
mm-hmm.
and see the climate and see, know who you are and know what comes with being who you are, especially being an African descendant. You know, we didn't
mm-hmm.
ask for this,
mm-hmm.
but at the same
mm-hmm.
time, we've got to adapt to the climate. And if we plan to keep moving forward, we're definitely going to have some type of form of protection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Pushing for a firearm, okay?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Protect ourselves
yeah.
and our family, our investment, you know, our hard work, and that, you know, our right to walk in the community without being shot down, you know what I mean, for whatever reason it was, you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
even
mm-hmm.
off of false
mm-hmm.
claims, you know what I mean, we have to defend ourselves. It's not an option right now for us, It's optional if you want to go buy you one. It's optional if you want to go train.
Mm-hmm.
That's optional. But when your life is tested, you know what I mean? You don't want to put your life in someone else's hands. You know what I mean? So that's all I got to say, Michael.
No. Please don't tell everybody now about I was waiting for you to end this stuff so we go with to get you on the number. Now tell everybody about why Fred Hampton Gun Club's a good fit. This is your show.
You know I'm going to talk about the Fred Hampton Gun Club. Okay.
So,
like I said, for people that's been here, they know who I am. But for everybody else that don't know who I am, my name is Mayotte, M-A-A-T, Yeboah, Y-E-B-O-A-H. I'm the chairwoman down here for the Fred Hampton Gun Club, Oklahoma. I'm recruiting all over Oklahoma, and also other chapters are recruiting. So if you're not here in Oklahoma, if it's not a chapter there, you can be the person that represents your state, the person that stands for justice. You have the same opportunity that I'm giving, that others have been giving, that have been with the Fred Hampton Gun Club, that has stood for the equality of our people and pushed our people to defend themselves by owning a firearm and training and knowing our gun laws, knowing what we have the right to do and what we don't have the right to do, and also educating us about our culture and who we are and what comes with it. So that's definitely something that we incorporate. Like I said, if you're not in Oklahoma or if you're not in Oklahoma and you're in another state, you could still send me a message on Facebook, or you can send a message to the Fred Hampton Gun Club OKC chapter page on Facebook. We're also on Instagram now. It's under Fred Hampton Gun Club Oklahoma chapter. I'll also post that on the Facebook page. But we're recruiting all over. If you have the heart of the people and you want to protect our people, you want to educate our people and you want to teach them gun safety, even if you don't have any experience with a gun, that's why we have training. That's why we have range time. We have all these things in order to get you equipped to defend yourself. You know, we push that out there in the community. Like I said, you can message me on any of those pages, or you call me, leave a voicemail if I don't answer about what it's for and all that, or send me a text message. It's going to be at 405-905-0302. That's
405-905.
Go ahead. 03-02.
Y'all, I wanted her to go slowly for y'all because I know a number of y'all are constantly asking questions about that, and that's why I'm here. We're going to take a little bit of time we have left, about 15 minutes. I want you to, this is your time basically to just encourage people to do and let everybody know all that you're doing outside of the Fred Hampton Gun Club. And you say you're promoting. What are you doing to promote? Just tell us what you're doing when you're not on air. I mean, that way they can see that it's always an actual thing going on.
I always try to encourage people every time I come around or every time I'm able to speak. I want everybody to not look at this as, it's horrible. You know, look at the good in the revolution. Look at the good in it, because there's a lot of good things in this revolution. It frees us, finally. You know what I mean? From being oppressed, when you fight for it, you know what I mean? It means so much more when you fight for it versus when you just receive. So that's the thing. Fight for your rights. Fight for equality no matter what situation it is. Whether it be on your job, whether it be,
wherever.
In a meeting, wherever you are, demand you be treated fairly. The same across the board. So that's one thing. I want everybody to stay encouraged and look at the good in everything, even though this is not something we asked for. This is something we have to tolerate for now until we have gotten to that point where we can establish our own. You know what I mean? So it's just a it's a stepping stone. We have to go ahead and step over this one, you know, and get to it. Far as me wise, you know, I'm doing a lot of gun training. I'm going out going to the range, fine tuning some things, so I can be a better teacher, a better leader. And that's what I'm gunning for. When I go out and I go train or I go take that extra time to, you know, go over a couple of drills, if I'm dry firing, whatever I'm doing, I'm preparing to help to be a better leader. You know what I mean? I can bring more to you and provide more to you as I'm learning, as I am hiring myself to be a better person out here in general. Outside of that, y'all know I'm still a college student. I'm a junior now, psychology major. Yeah, it's really exciting because for one, I'm using what I'm learning as I'm learning it. If that makes any sense, I begin to see all of this stuff that I'm studying in real life time. You know what I mean? And I'm able to pick apart certain things and to, you know, I can identify certain specific things that I see, and this is just a real life example. Some of these stuff that I see are people struggling with, I'm studying about. I'm like, oh, this is what the, oh, okay. So being a better provider, you know, because I will personally, you know, once I hit my academic achievements, my academic goals, I will then be someone that can, hey, you don't have to prescribe all that medication. All they need to do is talk.
You know what I mean?
And stop some of that abuse coming from that end. So it revs me up because everything I'm doing, I'm not just doing for myself, you know, and that's kind of how I live my life. I give, I receive, I give, I receive, I give, I receive. And that's what true love really looks like, is giving and receiving back and forth, you know. And that's just how I operate. You know, whatever I can do, yes, it benefits me, you know, to get a college degree. Yes, it benefits me to train a little bit more. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to hold all that, like I was saying early, holding all that knowledge to myself. You know, I'm giving it right back to the people. You know what I mean? And I saw like, you know, like Huey P. Newton, you know what I mean? All their degrees that they have, they did that purposely because they knew they wanted to give back to the people. You know what I mean? All our revolutionary college students, and most of them was revolutionary college students. They chose their career paths because they knew their purpose and they knew what they needed to do. And how I look at it. I'm like, you know what? But that's all that I'm doing as far as, you know, personal improvement. That's why I push everybody. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you've known me or haven't known me. I push everybody to their fullest potential because I can see it. You know what I mean? Because somebody else saw it in me and pushed me. You know what I mean? And some people still, hey, you can do this. You can do that. You can be much better. You know what I mean? I try to push that on our people because guess what they're being told through the music? Guess what they're being told in class, around their peers, around the oppressor, around in your jobs, around in the churches, the other weird places that you might hear this from. We are oppressed. You won't ever be anything. You know what? The best thing you can be is a rapper. The best thing you can do is dance. The best thing you can do is make people laugh. That's all you're capable of doing. You know what? I can take you all the way to the top in this career, but you're trying to be a doctor, you might not be the best one. Ah, you got a learning disability. Oh, well, you can't really read like that. You can't comprehend what I'm saying. Oh, no, you stupid. Now, let me hold you back. Let me do this. You know what I mean? Yeah, oh, well, I don't think you're smart enough for this job.
Yeah.
That's what we hear as people.
Belittling.
That's what we hear. That's what our people hear all the time and get cut off from certain things in life. So that's why I do what I do. When I talk to somebody, I try to encourage them. I try to tell them specific things. You know what? Go shoot for your dreams. You know what I mean? In a practical way. Don't go doing nothing crazy. You know,
no,
you can be revolutionary, but don't go do nothing stupid. That's two different things.
Yeah, right.
So.
Yeah.
But I try to tell, like, you can be something. You know what I mean? You can do whatever you want to do in this world. Don't let this oppression hold you back.
Wow.
You just push a little bit harder, and you're going to get there. Because some going to have to move with your purpose into your life. Some going to have to move.
Yeah,
you
know,
when
right.
you walk in your purpose, something is going
to
have to move. And if it don't, it's going to get forced out.
It's going to get run off.
You know
like
what
a
I
mad
mean?
Truck.
And that's how I think I want everybody to understand their purpose. You know what I mean? And to protect your investment and to protect yourself even more when you find out what your purpose is. And don't let nobody tell you you can't be nothing, because you can be whatever you want to be in life.
I don't care how old
you are.
All
you
right.
Know?
Let me, yeah, I say, one second, I say, sister. I see, bro, I don't know, is this Brother James, is that you? I mean, I just popped up. I saw a line light up. Is that you or somebody else?
Peace and love. Greetings.
Yeah. What's going on, baby? Yes. Ashe, you heard us talk. I mean, Papa, what's going on? Talk to me.
I'm just tuning in to get on the same vibe with the people. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
That's
what I mean.
Dealing with some stuff on this end. Dealing with some things on this end. But I'm plugged in.
But, brother, you let us know what we can do. That, brother, man, we mean business. It's family here. No, hey, I don't give a damn what you I go to the street. We can steal each other's hamburger, but at the end of the day, we need to come to community, and then we can fight about the hamburger later on. But at the end of the day, you need to get the things we need done. You know what I mean? Don't never think you can't talk to me on any damn level. I ain't going to tell you that. Go ahead on. Talk to me. What's been going on with you? Yeah, I mean business. Shit.
Oh, dealing with the system. Dealing with the system. They do their job. They're in the pressing business. I'm in the business of not being oppressed. So I do my best as they do their best, and we'll see who wins. It's definitely a contest of wills. But I will not go down without a fight. That's for sure.
It's survival of the fittest. That's right, brother. Survival of the fittest. Remember that, and I appreciate you saying that to me. That gives me motivation to continue to strive and be amongst the. You know, beyond the perpetrators who are designed to cut us off in the middle of the river, not being able to swim back and forth. So, yeah, brother, I'm with you. I feel you. I feel the same stuff you do even in the free world out here. So I know what you have in a compact setting. You in? Oh, man, come on, man. Yeah. And those pictures that you be sending the damn food, is that food or that? What the hell they call that shit you be showing me sometime, man? What the hell is that?
I'm like, that's not food.
Yeah, it keeps me lean. And a little on the mean side, so you're hungry, you're a little more honorary. I think they're just striving to keep us, the lack of nutrition is a big issue. They want to make us susceptible to illness, but, you know, that's part of it. You got to have the mental fortitude to be able to withstand the attacks and understand that really food is...
it's essential, bro. Your life. Your life. Simple as that.
Oh, yeah.
Your life.
It shows you how important it is.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Your life.
We definitely have to have some help from the community, because it feels like we're alone sometimes. Well, it's a lot of times I feel like nobody, and that we're isolated back here, so nobody really hears us, and the risk of making noise is it's a risk. But what other option do you have? I mean, keep quiet and suffer, or do you make noise to get help? So you just have to make that call. And everybody has to make the call on their own.
I tell you what I want you to do, Doug James. I tell you. All right, Thursday, I want you to host a show, and you come in, and you
just give us what we need to hear. In other words, we'll just be your co-host. So that way you can feel free with not having to come in when you get ready, or me having to shade around, or me saying something that, you know, over on this end or that end, you can guide us. And that way, so that way you can be heard, like you saying you're not being heard. That's what this show is about. I just told y'all, give us ideas. Ideas, this is y'all's show. You know, you can host the show, okay? All you got to do is come on, and when I get ready, let's say about 15 minutes still, you and I be kicking in the background. She at school and stuff, she come in at about 8. But at 7:45, you come in, we can say, boom, 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 and we get ready to start the show. I'll introduce it, blah, 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 and here's our host for the night, bam. And you can pull us in on the topic, whatever it may be, but let me know so I can type it up so that everybody can know what's going to be. See? That's what I'm trying to tell you. I don't have to host it every night. Yeah, man, I'm going to be hosting it pretty soon if I'm not around. You or whatever. I told y'all, man, the whole idea is to keep the ball rolling. Does that make sense? To keep the political, economic, social ball rolling. That's all.
This Thursday?
Yeah, this Thursday.
Okay.
That's coming up. This next week. Or you can do it, like I said, you don't have to do it this week. You can do it the following week. Or Saturday, we got another revolutionary show as far as we've been for 6 weeks now talking about former revolutionaries, those as old and passed on, you know, to bring back the focus of people getting able to be attached to the actual troublemakers that made it possible for us. You know what I mean? So we're just trying to highlight and let people learn about it, Sojourner Truth and different, various great mathematicians and engineers and, you know, man, I mean, people who made a difference in our lives. You know, Huey P. Newton, Angela Davis, George Jackson, and people. You see what I'm saying? Those people paved the way for us. I don't care what nobody said. Well, at least you had for you. You have done nobody said.
The real heroes, as I call them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a chance to, I didn't have a direct conversation. I was on a call with Huey P. Newton's son.
Oh, and
I was like, wow. Yeah.
Man, come on, man.
He's following in his father's footsteps.
That's what we do, man.
Yeah. So I was like, and then Fred Hampton's son was on another call
He buried his man. Yes, sir.
Earth, isn't it?
Yes,
and
sir.
Then Juneteenth, mm-hmm. we decided that, you know, we're going to take and make it every teenth that we're going to, you know, from the 13th to the 19th that we're going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to Juneteenth Eve tomorrow. Tomorrow's Juneteenth Eve. So we're going to remix it and make it ours. We're going to remix and make it ours. You know, they've taken the month of June, and you know, I guess they want to make it Pride Month, but hey, I mean, we'll do our own thing. We'll do our own thing, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, but I do.
We ain't going to just have no one day. We're going to take what we want.
Maybe something wrong with me, but you know what? I've been celebrating for a long time, so that's just going to be more reason for me to pull out my Pan-African flag.
That
whole entire week.
Man, shit. I'm telling you. People need it.
So.
The flag needs to be flown at high hat.
They said that June. And, you know, when I first heard about it, I was like, okay, so what day are they talking about? The 13th? The 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th, or the 19th? All of them. I'm like, that sounds much better.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
instead of the Kwanzaa thing, to have a freedom thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, the culture of freedom for our people. We should be highlighting the principles of liberation, of freedom, of independence. These things that we should be highlighting each day. So I've been working on a little project. You know, I stay busy. These four corners here, you can get stuck inside them, and that's not where I choose to be. So
You might have
my body, but you can't have my mind. I refuse to be
you
a prisoner.
You can jail a revolutionary, but you can't.
Mm-hmm.
harass me.
Yeah.
But you can't. Here.
Okay.
Unless you keep everybody away from me, even the police, even the officers, they're like,
oh, my God, no.
No, you do the work for the state. You know I don't care if you work for the state. You're still a black man, right? Well, I'm talking to a black man. I'm not talking to the state slave. So, I understand you got to feed your family. I understand all that.
Yeah.
But still, you have a bigger
opportunity
than just your family.
That's the only thing about that. They're not understanding, man. Let me help you feed them. I can give you more money in your damn pocket if you listen to me, son. Quit believing in Massa. Think you can't do without him. Maybe we can make enough for you when you don't need him no damn more. Straight up.
They try, like I said, they try to keep us dependent on them all the way to the darn grave. And that's really our a small portion of our still slaves. Portion, you know what I mean? Until we stop, we need to stop eating out their hand, for one.
Yes,
you know
right.
what I mean? And start feeding ourselves and feeding our community, investing in black businesses and black-owned establishments and services. And then we can stop eating out of their hands. We spend a lot of money on a lot of crap that we don't have to spend money on. And if we turned around and invested a portion of what we spend on materialistic things that we all buy, but we don't need to consume so much of. We need to start sending it out, pieces in these ones, and help them create a legacy and watch that flourish. You invest here, they invest in you. Going back and forth in between our community.
Mm-hmm.
That is power.
Mm-hmm.
That is economic power that we need. We need that. We need to establish, we need to put our money amongst us and get this together because they don't want to see us. They don't want to see us when we start talking money, that's what we can hit them at. It's right there in the pocket. Because if they ain't getting nothing from us, if they can't benefit off of us anymore than what they've already been benefiting off of, they're going to be in an uproar. They're going to be scared.
They're already losing. The war is over.
That's why they're doing it now.
Yes. The war is over. They know they lost it.
Yep, this is a result of how they're doing these mass shootings.
That's why they're killing us all, trying to get us all in one room and 15 of us.
They know that it's a threat to their money and to their system, their direct cash flow. Anything that we do that does not threaten them, they sit back and they laugh and they watch it as entertainment.
Yes.
They want to see us clown around. They want to see us act a fool.
Yes.
They want to see us get into it with each other. They want to see us, oh, I ain't going to talk to this black person because of this. I'm not going to invest in that nothing because of this. They benefit off of that. They benefit off of us not supporting each other, not helping each other, not moving progressively forward in our community. They benefit off of us depending on them for every single thing. Give us a house, give us a home, master, give us a car, master, give us, you know what I mean? No, we got to stop eating out their hands. We are more than capable as people to elevate where we're at right now.
I see. I got to cut y'all because they just gave us about 90 seconds. All right, everybody, y'all been listening to us tonight. We have Brother James that joined us back again. This is People Power Radio. I'm your host with the most, along with my co-host, Mayat Yuboah, again, Brother Curtis Mullen. Brother Curtis Mullen was on here as well. I'm going to have to rush at y'all this time and all because we got so far into it, had so much fun. I forgot that we were always at the end of it. But as always, y'all be blessed and tell somebody you love them tonight. Again, we Brother James is back with us tonight. We're always going to let him tell us what's on his mind. And this Thursday, if he wants to do a show, everybody tune back in this Thursday at 8 o'clock. If he's going to do a show, we'll let y'all know. We'll put it out on Facebook. And please tell your families and everybody. Thank you all for tuning in with us, man. And, hey, be blessed with us. Brother Curtis, thank you for tuning in as well. And anybody else that was listening, I didn't give a shout-out to you. I'm shouting out to you now. May God bless and keep you. May allow his face to shine upon you and give you peace. The God I'm talking about is the God that exists in you. I'm not talking about some damn spook in the sky, number one. Let's understand that. I'm not talking about somebody that run the damn world. I'm talking about you. Because without you, the world would be useless. Okay. So let's remember that. Y'all be blessed. We got to get ready to go. Thank y'all so much. Be blessed, everybody.
Okay.
Y'all done great. Thank y'all so much. All right, y'all.
Okay.
We got about a minute and a half in the back room. So, Brother James, so tell me now if you're going to do something, let me know, and I can you know, try to get you ready for it, and then you can tell me what we need to do.
Sure. I would love to.
Okay, and then give me your topics probably by Tuesday, because we usually try to give people 2 or 3 days, that way they won't say. Because if you give to them early, like Monday or whatever, they forget all about Thursday's coming. You know what I mean? So I usually try to give them about a day or two, and they say, oh, let's go.
Partner in June. No, I'm just kidding. My partner. We're definitely going to remix it, though. We're going to definitely raise the awareness about the need to expand our culture. And, you know, this is one way we can do it.
Give me the topic. Yeah. Just give me the topic. Like I said, they gave me a cut out about 5 minutes. I had it. I didn't time it right. I should have alerted them. Yeah, they buzzing me now. But anyhow, yeah, you still got, like, say, about 3 or 4 minutes. So go ahead. But, yeah, let me know the topic about Tuesday, and then I'll be, or either, like, say, before then, and I'll, you know, put it out there, and then we can get you on the air, and then we'll get some OP. Curtis will be definitely want to be back, especially Bella Omar, you know, especially knowing that you're going to host the show. We want to encourage others to come in and host and let us just be the guests. Brother, it ain't us. We're just giving you an opportunity, a chance to say what you need to say, John or Harry or Josie down the street. I don't give a damn who it is. I ain't got to run shit, but I'm doing it because that's all. We ain't nobody else coming forward.
Okay.
That's all. Shit, I can listen too. Y'all see me, I'm ready to listen. I don't have to talk because I know y'all feel me. When y'all feeling me, I'm feeling y'all. My bottom line. You know, shit. I mean business, man.
Yeah. We definitely need more platforms. That's what we're in need of. We need our voices magnified.
Yeah, you got about 1 minute, though. You got a minute, y'all, so go ahead. I'm letting you know so if the color's off, you know why. Go ahead on. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I definitely appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely, man. Let me tell y'all here. Oh, they just 45 seconds. But, yeah, hey, man, y'all, let's do this thing, man. The revolution is real, man. I'm telling y'all, man. Being a Pan-African is not something that you just talk about. You can't be it on it 23 hours a day. You got to be it 24 hours a day. Even when you think you're not, you got to be. You know, and that's one of the topics I want to do out this coming Saturday. You know, you have to be. You can't put your badge of honor on at 5:30 and say, "Well, I'm gonna take it off at 7:39." No, it don't. The time you think you relax, no, that's when you get attacked.
Shit.
Oh, we know he used to drop his arm at 7:30. Y'all, let's go in and take him out now. That's how it works, man. The devil sees and acts. I'm not talking about some damn old spook-ass devil. I'm talking about the human, no-good, stinking-ass devil, male, human. Okay? So this is what I'm talking about, y'all. Okay. Let me get out of here. Y'all, let me give me a cut us off in about 3 seconds here. Everybody be blessed. Thank y'all, man, for speaking. And, hey, it's always a great time. Y'all know I love y'all, man. Y'all make it happen for me, man. I mean, without y'all, I'm
back.
Yeah, brother. All right, y'all be blessed. It's been a cut me off. All right,
brother.